You know, I always tell my friends who got married at the normal time that when things happen when they're supposed to happen, you celebrate. But when things happen when they're not supposed to happen, you worship. Because it's at those moments when it's too late and you don't think anything is going to happen that God shows up.
Hey, welcome. This is Family Life Blended, and I'm Ron Deal. This donor-supported podcast helps blended families and those who love them pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm so glad you've joined us in this journey. Welcome to episode 77, Grace-Filled Parenting in Blended Families. Now, I've been telling you about our upcoming live stream, Blended and Blessed, on Saturday, April 2nd, 2022. And today, you're going to hear one of last year's presentations from that event, Blended and Blessed, from Lori Pulitz Short. Now, if you don't know, Blended and Blessed is a marriage seminar specifically designed for couples in blended families. And it's new every year, new theme, new speakers. And if you're interested, the previous five events are all available online through our all-access digital pass. We have churches using them as small group material throughout the year, and individual couples can watch them at home. So likewise, this year's Blended and Blessed is all new, and we would love for you to be a part of it. It's just 2.5 weeks away, Saturday, April 2nd. If you're in Houston, man, come be part of the live audience. It would be so fun to meet you and spend a little time visiting with you and getting to know you personally. If you're not in the Houston area, you can stream it on your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer. Just go to blendedandblessed.com, learn all about the event and how you can register. Lori Short has been on this podcast before with her husband, Jerry. That was episode 60, if you want to look that up. She is a speaker, author, and stepmom. She's been in ministry for 30 years and is currently serving on the teaching team at Ocean Hills Covenant Church in Santa Barbara. She's the author of numerous books like 40 Verses to Ignite Your Faith and Grace-Filled Step-Parenting, Help and Hope for This Unique and Loving Role. Okay, so what you're going to hear took place in 2021 at our Blended and Blessed livestream event. We did not have a live audience because of the pandemic, but we had thousands of you join us from around the world, including those in Latin America, listening to our Spanish translation. Okay, here's Lori Short.
My name is Lori Short. And I am a stepmom. And sometimes you feel like you're at a 12-step program when you say that. And I know for me, for many years, it was not something that I announced because it was a little bit embarrassing to say that word. I think the fairy tales have done us a disservice. But now I can say honestly that I am proud to carry this name and be a mom to the child that God has given me. But I am so thrilled to be here, and it is an honor to be here at Blended and Blessed. This is my first time. And it's also an honor to speak on this subject. It's actually the first time that I have spoken on this subject. And you know, I noticed that no one grows up hoping to be a step-parent. You never hear people say, I hope someday I will be a second spouse. Those hopes come out of unexpected situations and brokenness. And I think brokenness is not something that we plan for in our life. I will tell you that my story of brokenness is actually one of extended singleness. Now, some people are very happy being single. I was not necessarily the ring by spring gal in college, but I thought that one day I would be married, hopefully in my 20s. And then, of course, when my 30s came, I began to pray a little louder. And when I hit 40, I secretly suspected that God might be deaf. He just wasn't answering that prayer. And so at 42, when I got engaged, the Hallelujah chorus broke out in my home. And we were so excited, and I had two bridal showers, and I had my wedding dress, and we had furniture in the home when my fiance got deployed, and he was going to be gone for 9 months. So we thought about the shotgun wedding, but decided wisely against it, and he went off. And in the course of his deployment, his ex-wife actually had second thoughts about their divorce. So when he came home, we broke up and they remarried, which is actually a wonderful story when you're not the girl engaged to the guy. And I have to say that there were well-meaning Christians who said, well, isn't it great that God used you to bring them back together? And I'm like, you know, it's fabulous. I hope you have the same opportunity someday. But in all seriousness, here at this Family Life Conference, it was great. And being a child of divorce, if two people can come back together, it is a wonderful story. It just wasn't wonderful for me. And I have found in my life that God uses our brokenness as a canvas more than anything else in our life. And with my brokenness, I joined a man who had also been in a story of brokenness. And I have a picture of our wedding. And you can see right away from this picture at my wedding that he had a backstory. And his backstory was that he had married a woman who had two kids. So he was a stepdad for many years. And then they had a child, who is the one you see in the picture. And then shortly after they had this child, she left him for another man. And so now the two of us come together, and it was such a day of joy. I can't tell you. You know, I always tell my friends who got married at the normal time that when things happen when they're supposed to happen, you celebrate. But when things happen when they're not supposed to happen, you worship. Because it's at those moments when it's too late and you don't think anything is going to happen, that God shows up. And that is honestly what happened at my wedding. People found hope in their stories because of us coming together. But all of you step families, blended families know that there comes a day when the wedding ends and the honeymoon is over and your blended story begins. And I loved hearing the young man and the young woman talk about what it was like to be a child when two people were coming together and they're all excited and you're like, wait, what about us? And we had this little boy who didn't really know what was going on. He just knew he was the ring bearer at our wedding and there was cake there and he was celebrating. But you know, the interesting thing about becoming a step-parent, because I had never been a parent before, is that when you have a child, you have the pregnancy, you have support groups, you have all of this time to get ready for the birth. But when you become a step-parent, you go on a honeymoon and then you become a parent. And that is exactly what happened to me. We came home from our honeymoon, and the day we came home, Jordan was brought over to our house. He was 6 years old. And I remember I had forgotten that he was spending the night with us. And so that next morning, after being in Hawaii for 10 days, I'm in a haze of delirious bliss. And all of a sudden I see this child and I'm like, you're still here. Luckily, I didn't say it out loud. But all of a sudden it was getting real right there. I was going to be a mom to this child. And right now, he needed me to get him ready and take him to school. So I took him to school, and I was really thankful that we had some time for him to be there. And while I figured out what I was going to do with him when I picked him up, because he got out at 2 o'clock, my husband got off work at 5 o'clock. I was working at a church, so I had some more flexibility. And I can remember that day that I literally was just... I went to a friend's house who had a child the same age. I invited myself over to her house and I said, can we just come over and play? I knew if I was with somebody else, I wouldn't mess up. But these are the stories that are behind all these families that are tuning in right now. I'm just one story. We just heard another story. But so many of you have your own story, and however you come together, it is an adventure. But when it starts, it is a challenge. And I remember it was so important for my husband and I to be a team, Because here's the thing. When you're a step parent, you are trying to bond with a child. You know, they use the phrase intimate stranger because suddenly you're in their home, you're part of their life, but you don't really have that bond yet. I wrote a book called Grace-Filled Step Parenting that's coming out in a week. And in the last chapter, I interviewed my stepson who is now 18, but he was 17 when I interviewed him. And here's what he had to say about a step-parent. I thought it was so perceptive. He said, a child will always have a connection with his parents because they are his parents. With a step-parent, that has to be grown somewhere. It doesn't appear out of nowhere. And so I think that phrase, intimate stranger, is so true. He was so adorable and we had a great relationship, but all of a sudden we were brought together. And so it was so important for my husband, who was the bio parent, to champion me as the step parent. We had to be a team in this. And those of you who are doing this, you know that you have to be a team. And you've already heard a great talk about marriage, about staying together, about keeping your marriage warm. And we've had to do that. Many, many date nights, much communication about parenting styles, about some of our feelings. Both have feelings coming into the situation. And so I just want to commend and encourage you to have this kind of relationship where you can communicate and talk about what's going on so that you can be a team. And so we came into this adventure together. And, you know, what's interesting is Ephesians 6 talks about families. It's kind of a blueprint for families. But as I was reading over that passage, I'm not sure that Paul had in mind blended families when he wrote it. It was pretty clear, you know, father, mom, wife, husband, all of those roles. But in a blended family, you've got a lot going on. And so I still think so much of that passage applies. But what I've decided to do in the time that I have with you is take you back. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 1, right at the beginning. So Paul's setting the stage for all of the things he's going to say about all of these roles we have in life. But the way he sets the stage is with Ephesians 1, 18 to 19. And I am praying that these words that I'm going to read to you from the scriptures will suddenly grow louder in your hearts if you need to hear them. And I know with me, that's what happens when God is talking to me. It's like the volume goes up. And so I'm just praying that God will use his word to speak to you, to encourage you in your journey of step family. So here's the scripture. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. I am just going to pick this apart because there is so much in these two verses that I think can encourage us in our journey with blended families. We have to have this to start into these roles. We have to know the power that's inside of us. And so what are the things that Paul says? First, he says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The eyes of your heart. That means that you're not really seeing out of here. You're seeing out of here. And what happens when you see out of here? Well, the first thing is you lead with grace. And part of the reason that I called my book Grace-Filled Step Parenting is I think grace is the most important word when it comes to step families. You have got to have grace, all of you, or it doesn't work. And I know that for me, leading with grace means that I've had to abandon some battles of fairness. There is so much unfairness in step parenting. Where do you even begin with unfairness? But here's the thing. What's unfair to you isn't necessarily what's going to be unfair to the person that you might be saying that to. And so one of you is going to have grace. And I remember early on, I got into a little bit of a custody situation, something that was unfair because we had planned this. And I learned very quickly that those kinds of conversations between the parents that are trying to do this don't go very well. And the person who loses the most is the child. And so sometimes you have to be willing to lose a battle of fairness to win the war of the well-being of your child. And I'm not saying that it means that you abandon what might be going on in the other home that you have to intervene on. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about are the billions of times that you and the other bio parents are going to get into it. Because of whatever issue, whether it's around finances, whether it's around custody, whatever it is that you're talking about, it's going to be so tempting for you to say, that's not fair. And it's okay if you say that. You can say that to your spouse, but don't talk about it in front of your child because your child is trying to negotiate a rough, rough thing. And you have kind of created that. The parents have. So already the child is going back and forth to two homes that they didn't really even ask for. And so to engage in conversations about the other biological parent only puts the child in such an awkward position. So my husband and I made a pledge that we would have those conversations behind closed doors, that we would not talk poorly about the other biological parent who Jordan loved. Of course he did. Your biological parents are in you forever. I know this because I am a child of a divorce. And my parents divorced when I was an adult, but it still was true for me that it was so hard to accept step-parents the same way. And so I think we have to just acknowledge that. The child's going through their own thing, so you have to be the big person. And so to be willing to lose that battle of fairness to win the war of the well-being of your child. You know, one battle of fairness that I love the story that illustrates this is the, and in fact, it was referred to in the worship today, the story of the prodigal son. And we mainly focus on the prodigal son. This is in Luke 15, where a man had two sons. Jesus tells this story. It's such a beautiful story about grace. And they both are equally loved by the father, and one did everything right, and one did everything wrong. And the prodigal left and squandered all of his inheritance and ends up in a pigsty and desperate. And so he comes back to beg his father's forgiveness. And all the while, the elder brother has been home, and he's been doing everything right. And when he sees his father run down the road, towards this brother who has done everything wrong. He is incensed. That's not fair. I have done everything right. And you are let in a little bit to that dialogue in that story. And what's interesting about that story is the father comes home so overjoyed with the son that has now finally come home. But he leaves the party that he has thrown for that son to go outside to the elder brother because he loves him too. And that dialogue is so precious. You must read it. The father says, everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate because this other son was lost and he came home. Well, the older brother can't hear the first part of the sentence. Because if he heard the first part of the sentence, he would abandon fairness and realize that he had everything that his father had. It wasn't taking away from him to be extended to the person that was given it that shouldn't have deserved it. It was simply added. And so here is the insight from that verse for me. When we realize that we have everything we need from our Father, then we have enough grace to cover situations where it isn't fair. Sometimes you're just going to have to pull from that reservoir to find your grace. And you know, the elder brother had to make a decision, and we don't know what decision he made. Was he going to go and join in to this imperfect family, or was he going to stay outside? We all have to make that decision. Are we going to lead with grace to be a part of the families that we're a part of? So that is the first thing that we learn from this. But the second aspect of eyes of your heart is the ability to see beyond what is in front of you. You have to do that in step parenting. You heard these students say, this brother and the sister now saying, it took 10 years. That's a long time. That means you're going to have to see beyond what's in front of you if you've been married less than that. I know that step parenting is a journey, and sometimes it looks so bleak. Sometimes you're in the middle of the story, but you know what? You don't know what's going to happen. There's this great Chinese fable, and it tells the story of this man who's in a village, and he loses his horse, which is his pride and joy. His horse runs away. And so all the villagers come around the house and they're just crying with him. And he says, it could be good. It could be bad. All I know is I've lost my horse. So the villagers are puzzled and they walk away. And then all of a sudden this horse comes back with 10 other horses. Well, now the villagers come in and they're all celebrating. Oh my goodness, this is so wonderful. The man says, it could be good. It could be bad. All I know is I have 11 horses. And so they're puzzled again and they walk away. And then his son, who is his pride and joy, is breaking in these wild horses and falls from a horse and breaks his leg. Now the villagers come back. Oh no, your son. It could be good. It could be bad. All I know is my son has a broken leg. So now they're just frustrated by his response. And then it came about that a war broke out in the land, and all the able-bodied sons were taken off to war. And the man who had the wisdom to say, we don't know what the story is based on what is in front of us. And I love that fable because it is so true. You don't know what's going to happen. You're in the middle of the story, and sometimes it looks so bleak, but we have a God who loves that. We have a God who loves that because he delights in bringing a new story when there is no story. And I'm a testament to that. My husband's a testament to that. We are. Our family is all about that. And that is really the next thing that Paul says, the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. Do you know what Romans 8:24 says about hope? Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have? But we hope for what we do not yet have. Have you ever thought about that? You can't have hope unless you don't have hope. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. If you already have it, then you don't need it. And God says, I am calling you to hope. And that means you're going to have to look beyond your situation, especially if you're in a dark season. And I know that there are some people watching right now who are in the middle of it. Maybe you even came to this conference as your last shot at making this work. And I want to encourage you, there is hope. Because you're here, there is hope. Our son grew up. He was 6 when I married his father, and I had the privilege of raising him because his mother moved to Australia, but he would go on summers to see her, and so she was definitely still in his life, but we really raised him, and there were some dark moments, especially as he was getting older. It's ironic, when you have younger stepkids, they seem to be game for anything, right? And then all of a sudden, they get older and start figuring out their story and what's going on and who you are and who their real parents are and all of those things. And that was happening to Jordan. And in junior high, he had a really rough time. He had a great elementary school, and then he went to junior high, and he didn't have the right friends, and went through some bullying and just some dark days. And on top of that, the other family that was raising him didn't have the same faith values that we had, so he would go back and forth. He even talks about that in the last chapter, how he had this switch. And I heard that same language, that switch that goes on, that you have to kind of, and for him, he had to become almost two different people in his two different environments. So it was rough. It was hard for him. And we didn't know what was going to happen with faith. We raised him with love. We loved the Lord. We were very imperfect, but we would always apologize. We just loved him. And we tried to surround him with good people. That is definitely a secret sauce in step parenting. And so he had a village around him. But we didn't know what the end of the story would be, especially at junior high. And I'm happy to say that in the middle of COVID, our boy at 17 made the decision on his own to be baptized in the ocean. It was just an amazing moment. I remember when my husband and I looked at each other just with our masks on, and we were like, wow, that God had this for us. And so don't give up if you're in the middle of the story. You just keep loving God and you just keep loving that child. There's always hope. If you got up this morning and you're still breathing, God is not through with your story. That's how it works. And the last thing that Paul talks about is the riches of his glorious inheritance. You know, an inheritance means time. There's going to be time until you get that. That time may vary. You don't know when it's going to happen, but there's going to be time before you get your inheritance. And I love that language around step parenting, because some of the days are dark. Some of them are challenging. All of them are unfair. So many step parents are out there. You know, I interviewed 125 for my book, Different Situations, Step Parents. And I am more convinced than ever that step parents are heroes. In fact, bio parents, if you are sitting right now with a step parent, or if you're both step parents, would you just shake each other's hand and congratulate each other? Because, you know, we often have to do a thankless job, and especially carrying a label that isn't always as good as foster mom or, you know, adoptive mom. You know, when, as soon as you say stepmom, it's just kind of, I don't know, we need a new word or something. The truth is, it doesn't matter what the label is. It's who you are in the role. And the inheritance will come, because guess what? One day your child's going to grow up and your child is going to be an adult, and they will know so much of what they don't know right now. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about that. He will know. I don't have to tell him. He's going to know. And they will. They will know. So the more that you can refrain from saying things that you will regret, not making your child choose, not speaking negatively about their parent when their parent is someone they will defend, because given the choice, the child will choose their bio parent. So don't make them choose. Be an add-on and live that add-on role for all it's worth, because you might change a child's life. That's how God might use you. You know, step-parenting is a calling for me. It's not a job. It's not a, oh, shucks, my husband had a child. Matter of fact, I celebrated because my biological clock had gone out the window. So I was like, I get a child. Yes, he came with a mom, but hey, God gave me this opportunity. It's not the package that I necessarily dreamt about, but you know what? God gave that to me. And so if you have a child in your care, step or not, you just love them, because our kids need love. And you might be the one that changes them because of that unconditional love. And that unconditional love is what's going to grow you the most. I believe that God wants us to learn unconditional love more than anything. And we don't always learn that. But step parents, guess what? You will always be a child's choice. So you will have to love like this. Now, I will say that really all parents have to love like this. Step-parents just figure it out earlier. All parents have to ultimately open their hands and say, I'm not in charge of this child's life. I've done my job. Now all I can do is love them. And so step-parents, you have that opportunity as a calling, as a mission field. You don't ever know what's going to happen as a missionary. I have a quote from my book that I want to give you, and this is what I say. Step-parenting isn't for the faint of heart because it requires sacrifice and courage. You can minimize your role by keeping your heart closed, but you will miss out on a gift that will enlarge your soul. Because when we access that kind of love, that unconditional love that God gives us, that He empowers us to love others with, it changes us forever. And that is what God can do through step-parenting. Now, I just have one final word from Ephesians. For those of you who have been listening to this and saying, you know what, you don't understand my situation. It's dead. I don't think there's any possible chance that we're going to make it. We are in so deep. There are so many issues and so many problems. I don't think we can make it. To you, I give you the verse that is on the screen. Ephesians 1:20 that says this, that power that Paul was talking about, that power that's in you that Paul was talking about, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the, say it with me, dead. So guess what? It is never too late for God to work. You know, when I was in my apartment with my wedding dress in my mom's closet and all my shower gifts in a garage of my ex-fiance, and I didn't even have the emotional strength to go get those gifts, and I was broken. I remember getting up in the morning and literally rolling out of bed onto the floor. And I don't know if you've ever been like that, but that's where I was. And I was a speaker at the time. So I wasn't just attending church or I wasn't just with one church. I was the person that you call in to encourage other people to follow God. And I felt like my life was falling apart. And I remember saying to God, I can't tell people my story. They're going to walk away from you. Do you know what I heard the Spirit of God say within my heart? Don't you worry about me, little girl. You tell your story. You tell your story and you watch what I can do. And you know, my testimony was never so powerful than before Jerry came into my life. When I stood on a stage and said, and I don't know what God is going to do, but He is God. And I got up this morning and He's not through. That's when I developed the middle of the story theology. And I want to pass that on to you because you might be there in the middle of the story. God delights to do the impossible. And I've seen it happen. And you may go through struggle. He does not take you out of the struggle. But through the struggle, there is a story of hope. And so you hold on.
You've been listening to Lori Short. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. Now, right after Lori finished speaking, the MC at our Blended and Blessed event, Rob Hudson, he came out on stage and he asked her to share a little bit more about what she called her middle of the story theology. We'll hear her response to that in just a minute. Hey, this is the kind of practical encouragement you're going to get by being a part of Blended and Blessed this year. If you're catching this episode as it releases, it's not too late to join us, Saturday, April 2nd, 2022. Go to blendedandblessed.com today to register. It's a live stream. You can do it at the last minute and still be with us. I hope you'll join us. But if you're listening to this episode and the day has already passed, you can still hear it on our all-access digital pass. The show notes will tell you how. And start making plans today to be part of our next live stream each spring, Blended and Blessed. Hey, if you have a topic or question you'd like for us to address on a future episode, you can email it to us or leave us a voice message. Look at the show notes. They'll tell you how. If you'd like more information about our speaker today, you'll find it in the show notes as well. Or you can just check it out at the Family Life Blended podcast page. That's at familylife.com/blendedpodcast. You can also learn more about Family Life while you're there. We host live events around the United States and around the world and produce some pretty fantastic resources for couples and families. Our division is called Family Life Blended, and we have the world's largest collection of articles, videos, online courses like Well Blended, and our certificate course in Blended Family Ministry. We have books for blended families like my book, The Smart Step Family, that is celebrating its 20th birthday this year. That book helped catapult step family ministry around the world and is still the most comprehensive Christian resource on blended families. But it's just one of more than a dozen resources we've produced. I hope you'll check it out and learn more about Family Life Blended today. The show notes will tell you how. And hey, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, you know you can do that, right? That way you won't miss any episode. You can do that on our own Family Life app, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Family Life Blended. Okay, let's hear what Lori had to say about her middle of the story theology.
Well, like I said, I really came upon that through experience. And it was either that I would have to find a new job and not be a Christian speaker anymore, or that I had to figure out, who is this God? Who is this God that's not doing what I want him to do right now, and who's took me so far? I was just about to get married, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. And then it was a good story on top of it. So there was so much mess that I almost dared God. I really did. I remember praying in my living room, just going, if you were to still do something, do you know what an incredible testimony this would be? Mm. And the story that he had for me, I'm not kidding. When people saw Jerry come into my life and this beautiful little boy, and who's now a 18 years old, when everyone saw God work this story of brokenness on so many levels together, it just made me realize that I really was in the middle of the story, that this isn't just pie in the sky theology. Right. This is true. And in fact, we're in the middle of the story until we get to heaven, really. So it really should be our theology, that we're always in process and we're not seeing yet what God has. And so there's always hope. Prayers.
Next time, we're going to hear from two step-siblings, Danielle Kelly and Trey Mason, about living in a blended family.
I didn't know really anything about him, and I was just like, well, does it really matter? Because I don't live here, really. Like, I'm in college, so do I have to say hi? Do I have to make conversation?
That's Danielle Kelly and Trey Mason, next time on Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our monthly donors who make this podcast possible. If you'd like to help or just say thank you with a donation, just look in the show notes for a donation link. Believe me, every dollar makes a big difference, and we really appreciate it. Our producer is Marcus Holt, mastering engineer Jarrett Roski, project coordinator Ann Ancaro, and theme music composed and performed by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is a part of the Family Life Podcast Network, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.